Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking, addressing the UN. And I know that Trump, our obviously GOP-sided candidate, former president, meeting with Volodymyr Zelensky today. I'd love to be a fly on that wall. And then we have the Vice President of the United States of America, Kamala Harris, heading to the border, she says, heading to Arizona. We've got it all covered on a national level where the campaigns are headed this weekend. And I know the Vice Presidential candidate, J.D. Vance, he'll be in Pennsylvania, back in Pennsylvania this weekend. We're going to talk about all of it. Thank you so much to those of you who I was able to join you last night in an incredible evening with Michael Whatley, obviously RNC chair, coming in and just had a great time. And so a lot of you just enjoyed seeing you in person. And thanks for all the compliments to all of us here. I mean, I just got like, especially I loved it at one point, Michael Whatley, and I, you know, called him. I told him he's like the archangel Michael. But he at one point said, "I love Zioli." It was neat, you know. Just the shout outs, you know, from people. But I heard it all. I love Nick Kale. I love Greg Stocker. Love Dom Giordano. So it was really nice to hear people, because we're in this family, I guess you might say. And we have such a camaraderie when we do get together, really positive energy. And I'm feeling the energy from the women up ahead. We'll hear from my beautiful friend, Hope Danoff. Hope, Republicans with Hope, and she was there. Of course, I was her guest, and just coming up shortly, you'll hear from the Monco commissioner, the only R guy in, the only right-sided guy in Monco. So just, his battle and what he's looking at and kind of get his forecast, if you will. I don't know if you want to dip into a little bit of Netanyahu, Dan, before we get to the Montgomery County and local. So there's so much locally breaking, a lot of police searches. And even, you know, some of it I've talked about in Kale and Company delivering the news and the big three, but just thinking about the suburban crime right over the border from Philadelphia into Montgomery County. And so you think about that these children being attacked on their school buses in Montgomery County. If you know where the township is, their Cheltenham Township, this is right over the border. I will be curious when they finally do, and I know they will catch the trio of thugs threatening school children, a girl on the school bus stop just this week as she was robbed and targeted. She's okay physically, but the parents are, from what I'm hearing, these kids are shaken. There were two attempts and one where they did rob her and get away. but it's a trio of these thugs, and they're calling it, you know, a strong-armed robbery of children waiting 7 o'clock in the morning on a school bus. What's going on here? I suspect that these suspects are from crossing from Philadelphia into Monco. That's just my theory, and we'll see if I'm right or wrong on that one. And then the ages of those suspects. But children being targeted, a lot of parents. And I wonder how that plays in the upcoming election when you think about your security, your safety. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Yeah. You want to play this with Netanyahu?
Yeah, so just a couple moments from Netanyahu. As he got to the podium, a bunch of diplomats actually stood up and walked out, and there was some a noise and sound. And
some
you can
drama.
You can hear the diplomats, the UN audience here. And then this is the start of Netanyahu's speech. Take a listen.
Order, please. Ladies and gentlemen, order. Order, please.
And now he takes
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't intend to come here this year. My country is at war, fighting for its life. But after I heard the lies and slanders leveled at my country by many of the speakers at this podium, I decided to come here and set the record straight.
So you can imagine that, you know, this is, you heard the hostility right there at the United Nations with these jerks who don't even have the civility to give this man respect. I mean, he's clearly embattled. His civilian citizens, nearly 1 year ago, we're coming up on that 1 year commemoration, but his civilian citizens attacked by heavily armed terrorists who plotted against them and breaking into their homes and not only taking many hostage, and we know that there are hope to God, some still alive, these hostages, including Americans, by the way. But you think about this, how disgraceful that was. And so obviously Netanyahu is a fighter, and the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Bibi as he's known, has for decades, you know, really fought for his country and talked about global anti-Semitism. And he dealt with it last night, these anti-Israeli protesters outside his hotel saying, "We're gonna get you." You know, just take in for a moment what his country has been dealing with after, since October 7th, when Hamas terrorists committed a massacre against innocent people. Mommies and daddies and grandparents and kids and teenagers and girls were ravaged and violated. It was sick. And so the attitude of our media and even the attitude of these individuals at the UN who are supposed to be representing their nations, it's a disgrace. The way the media, listen to this. Are these the protesters outside the hotel? It's a sin. And so, you know, I know he's addressing the UN. You hear him saying, you know, my country, we're fighting for our life. We know that yesterday Netanyahu had rejected at least one of the U.S.-led ceasefire proposals between Israel and the Lebanese militant group. This is Hezbollah, and he's fighting. And so now, as well, I will point out to you, Israel has announced yesterday it had reached an agreement with the United States of America, the Biden-Harris administration, for this $8.7 billion aid package, which supports the ongoing military efforts. So we will continue to follow this. You'll hear from the prime minister. you know, Dan is monitoring that, and we'll bring you pieces of his speech, get your thoughts, 855-839-1210. But Netanyahu continues to speech. Bringing in a little Montgomery County music there, Dan.
Yeah, Midnight in Montgomery by Alan Jackson. Why not?
Thank you. Setting the tone for our next guest. It was great to see our commissioner, one of the commissioners of the Montgomery Board of Commissioners there in Montgomery County. This is Tom DiBello, who you may recall a year ago was the Republican candidate who won that final spot on this Board of Commissioners along with two Democrats. And so it's a real transformation that we've seen in Montgomery County. And so you're outnumbered, Tom DiBello, but still strong and determined. Great to see you at last night's event.
Yeah, it was a pleasure seeing you as well last night. It was a good event, a lot of energy in the room, so that was exciting.
And so take me through. I just want to get an update, if I can, a snapshot from you. You know, I know that just this year, in January, you took office, so not even a year on the job, if you will. And so take me through the changes you're seeing, because I think that many, last night at least, at the great event, are feeling like there is something happening across the country, across the region, and yes, in Montgomery County, where I think a lot of people have said, oh, Montgomery County has gone 100% blue. What are you seeing in Montgomery County, and are you seeing an energized, let's say this, a new energy?
So, yeah, first off, thank you for having me on this
Absolutely.
Morning. Montgomery County right now leans a little bit more blue than red, as we know. Mm-hmm. There's about 90,000 more registered Democrats than Republicans. But I will tell you that I've been all over Montgomery County. I've been speaking at a lot of different events throughout the last several months. And I've seen that the amount of energy is I say, almost explosive, that to the point where they want change. Everyone talks about, I mean, this election, as we know, the economy is the number one concern of many. And that's what people are talking about. I know our opposing party wants to focus on one other topic, which is what they call is women's reproductive rights. Mm-hmm. But that is when you look at the polls and all that, a lot of people are more concerned about the economy. They're more concerned about the border. They're more concerned about crime. They're more concerned about the drugs and that pouring into this country. That's what I'm hearing out there. And I've been talking, and like I said, at different groups and different meetings. I've been at events where there'd be 300-400 people that I would be speaking at, and the energy is high. They want change. We've put out probably over or close to 10,000 Trump signs throughout the county. There's billboard signs. There's 4x8 signs out there. People, what we haven't seen before, are displaying these Trump signs in their yards more than we've ever seen before. As you recall, I mentioned last night that, you know, 2016, the energy was extremely high for President Trump. And then in 2020, it was kind of a little bit lull, and maybe we were back on our heels a little bit. Maybe we assumed certain things were going to happen. COVID was occurring. But the energy in 2024 in Montgomery County that I'm seeing is even higher than what it is than it was in 2016. So we're feeling very optimistic, that we are going to be where we need to be numbers wise. At the end of probably midday November 6th is when we anticipate having all of the mail-in ballots counted, and then you know, of course compiled with the in-person voting from November 5th. But we're feeling pretty good.
And what did you make of, I mean, obviously Michael Whatley visiting Montgomery County, elected obviously as the RNC chair, and, you know, a biggity-big, if you will, within the GOP, within the RNC, and really, I think, giving a rah-rah, energizing speech, a lot of numbers. Do you think that it worked? What did you make of Michael Whatley's speech last night?
I thought his speech was really energizing. I will say that I heard most of his what he was talking about before, because I've been at a few other events mm-hmm. with him and speaking with him at some other events. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, you know, I had a preview of what he was going to say, but what he was saying last night was right on target as far as what they're seeing at it from a national perspective as well as from a state perspective. I think one of the things that he pointed out last night was, you know, in 2020, there was almost 800,000 more registered Democrats in Pennsylvania than Republicans. And in 2024, we're down to about 330,000 difference between R and D's throughout the state of Pennsylvania. And we, with this, there was just a report that came out, and I can't remember if you referred to this last night or not, but there was just a report that came out as of right now at this time compared to 2020, there's about 800,000, if I have this right, it's about 800,000 less mail-in ballots at this point in time across Pennsylvania than there was in 2020. So I don't know what that's going to translate to other than it's probably going to be more people voting in person on Election Day. But statistically, the polls are kind of interesting when you see on TV as far as where Trump is in the polls. Mm-hmm. But I'm not seeing it. From what I believe he's going to be. I think he's going to be doing a lot better than what the people are trying to think he's going to do within the polls. But the numbers are definitely moving in our favor. That's what I believe.
And what do you make of, as far as Montgomery County, there's this RNC lawsuit that has accused Montgomery County of starting the election without properly and legally testing the voting equipment and that sort of thing. And we've reported a lot on that here. So is there an update on that, or does that change anything for what you're trying to do here?
Well, that's a great question. And but let me just roll the clock back just a little bit real quick. So over the last couple months, I believe that my counterparts have been getting direction from the higher ups within DNC.
Okay.
I know one of my counterparts has been down to Washington a few times and then has come back. He heads up our election board. So there's directive coming from a lot of different places. There was a push to add drop boxes, which I voted against. There was a push to add more satellite offices, which I voted against. And also we're doing something, where we call it the ice cream truck. But the county bought a van, $140,000 van to equip to drive around Montgomery County to what I say do canvassing, harvesting, ballot harvesting. And the goal is to help people cure their ballots if they send something in that's not accurate on their envelopes. They have intentions of going to nursing homes and parking out front. And what I've been asking for as a county commissioner, I want to know what the oversight is, what's the operating procedures or policies, everything that goes along with that to protect what that van may or may not be doing. So I have concerns about that. And all this kind of leads up, it's just a continuation of why the RNC filed the lawsuit, because, when you read through the code, you're supposed to do LNA testing, logistics and access testing on all the machines that you process mail and ballots through, and the machines that are used on Election Day. You're supposed to do this testing before voting starts. But the lawsuit's basically claiming that mail-in ballots should not be sent out before the LNA has been completed. And so the mail-in ballots have been sent, and we just start LNA testing on Monday of this week. And mail-in ballots already were held up last week because not only was I asking questions, because LNA was supposed to start last Friday, but I was in some meetings. I've asked a bunch of questions. I even asked about, shouldn't we be publicly advertising that the LNA is starting? So we ended up rescheduling late Thursday to start LNA instead of Friday, do it on Monday. And then what they did, they decided to change the order of LNA testing when we were going to test the machines that do the mail and ballot processing. So there's, and my question was, well, why, if we had no concerns about pre the lawsuit, why are we making all of these changes or in the plan of action? And I get, well, we're just trying to be double careful. I said, well, that makes no sense to me, because now you're just pointing out to me that if the lawsuit wasn't filed, we would just be doing this stuff off the cuff, and now I really have to question what's true or not true. So the lawsuit itself, I think, has merit. I don't believe a judge has been assigned yet. I haven't heard. Mm-hmm. I believe that. So I think once the judge is assigned to the case and the case is, you know, the process starts of, you know, what's going to happen. I know that I don't know what the end result will be, but if it's proved outright that we shouldn't have did this, then I'm going to push that those mail-in ballots that were sent out not only are quarantined, but are hand-counted and not sent through any machines when they return. That's going to be my goal anyway. But we'll have to wait and see what the result of the cases are.
Yeah, because I heard the media initially, because it was supposed to happen the 16th. I actually had talked to Linda Kearns. She had explained the whole LNA process, right? And so she had gone through that. And so we were talking about it actually Monday morning, the 16th, because people were hearing, oh, wait, my mail-in ballot, they thought, should be there. They could vote on the 16th. She was explaining the mail-in ballot will be here soon. But then it's being reported that election officials started mailing things out on the 17th, when after Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt had finalized everything. But what you're saying is they actually had not gone through that, you know, that process where everything is verified and tested.
Right. So the mail-in ballots, I don't remember the exact date. I guess it was, I believe it was the 13th when Al Schmidt said that the ballots had been certified. So then the goal would be on the 16th, the 17th, the mail-in ballots were scheduled to be mailed out. And because of all of everything that we just talked about, including some of the stuff that Linda Kearns has probably talked to you about, mm-hmm. as well, the mail-in ballots went out this week, starting the 23rd to 24th. Is from, you know, so people start seeing them show up probably 25th, 26th, and you know, they'll be getting them today through the weekend as well.
And so, because the media isn't really reporting on this, and that's why the details matter, obviously that's why I'm going into the nitty-gritty. And yeah. So with something like this, is as far as this goes, is it, I would imagine that as far as that county commission, I think it was an effort for a selfie to be the first in Pennsylvania, you know, to vote in Monco. But at the end of the day, what does that symbolize to you that this has happened right from the get-go with the mail-in ballots?
Well, what it symbolizes to me, and you're 100% right, his goal, his initiative was to be able to claim that he was the first person to vote in Pennsylvania with this election. That was his whole drive. What it symbolizes, what it means to me, is that we're being reckless with the overall processes and procedures of what we should be doing. You know, the ballots themselves that are coming back, I mean, we're going to do everything to secure and ensure that, you know, their integrity is applied. But like I said, depending on the outcome of this case, I am going to push really hard that those ballots are hand-counted and secured. So that's what I will be pushing for as well. But I mean, it just gives a bad look. And, you know, yeah. Montgomery County is the third largest county in Pennsylvania. We're the second largest county with Republican voters in Montgomery County. Within Pennsylvania. So it gives the impression that because of this Russian, because of what we're doing, then, perception starts to look, what are we being shady about things? What, you know, because we know we have Democratic majority. And you know, you've heard the phrase for many, many years, perception is reality. And so people are asking me, like, you know, what's going on in the county, and, you know, why is that happening? And so people are with these elections, people are uneasy to begin with. And one of the things that when I came in with my new commissioner friends, I told them, I said, we know November is going to be huge for us, and I just want to go low-key, status quo, under the radar, just do everything on the up and up, you know. And obviously they didn't take my advice, and we're adding drop boxes. We've taken security away from the drop boxes. We opened them 20. When I say we, I mean the county, because I voted no against all of this. The drop boxes are open 24/7.
Are there cameras? There are cameras, though.
There are cameras, but the cameras aren't monitored. So what I know, there's a whole initiative. There's a group out there, a citizens group, that's frustrated. And I know that they're planning to have people at the drop boxes and watching what's going on. We had some residents in the primary that have witnessed people putting in multiple ballots.
Let me ask you this, because we're running up against a tough time. Tom DiBello, I just want to ask you this. If somebody wants to volunteer in the county to be a poll watcher, or as you're saying, maybe one of these drop-off boxes, watchers or whatever, how do they volunteer if you're with the county?
If they're in Montgomery County, I'm not directly involved in this, but if they reach out to me, I can direct them put them in the right direction, to who they can interact with. Because I need to be careful as a county commissioner.
Yes.
Like I need to be... even though from a partisan standpoint, I know who I want to win and where we need to go. I also have to, do right by all the voters. So I'm not directly involved, but I could get them in contact with this citizens group.
Great. Thank you so much, Tom DiBello, Montgomery County Board of Commissioners. It was great seeing you last night. Great event. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Don. Take care.
Talk to you too. So what I would say is you can go to protectthevote.com. That's the site that Linda Kearns, that her group manages. Or if you want your mail-in ballot, swampthevote.com. Swampthevote.com. You can also go to pa.gov, but it's just you have to maneuver through and check to get to the right department. So swampthevote.com makes it a little easier. Make sure you go to the proper county and then you'll get your proper ballot. But if you want to, I would say protectthevote.com. Is that, Dan, do you agree with that?
100%.
Okay.
Linda Kearns is fantastic. She's
the
Pennsylvania
the
Election Integrity Council for the GOP. She's the one helping out with Protect the Vote, joins us on multiple shows, your show, Dom's show, Rich's show. I think she's been on Kale's show. Go check out protectthevote.com if you're wanting to help out. She could really, really use some volunteers.
Yeah, and I would say no matter what your party, and that's just it, because I know some of you are Democrats, some of you are independents, many of you are Republicans, but they want a diversity there, because you heard Tom say this, and I believe him. I think the disappointment here is that there are people who may say, see, it's all corrupt and my vote doesn't matter. We never want that to happen. I think we can all find common ground on that very issue. And so with this one, what Republicans are pushing for with regard to this unfortunate situation, the race to be first, whatever, if it's a vanity issue, etc., is that they're saying, hey, let's just quarantine those few ballots that may have come back in that were not through the proper process. Let's have transparency. Just have them hand counted. And that restores that idea of truth, transparency, in our election process for election integrity. And that's what I hear Tom DiBello saying. So we thank Tom. Quick break, I guess, right? And we've got a beautiful lady who brings hope for Republicans. Hope Danoff is next to give us some updates, especially as far as what conservative women in our region are doing and what you can.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody loves Hope Danoff. Man, what a fan base you have, Hope. Everybody, last night. You should have seen her in her red Make America Again dress, high heels with a red umbrella. It was a rainy evening.
Wow.
But the rain did not keep my friend Hope Danoff away from a huge event, a rally, if you will, with Michael Whatley, RNC chair, who was the main keynote speaker. But a lot of women in the room fired up and re-energized, if you will, there in the suburbs. Hope Danoff, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, my beautiful friend, Dawn. what a pleasure. It was to be with you last evening. I'm still on a high being with you, my friend.
Me too.
It was amazing.
Me too. And then we were texting each other, did you get home safe? It was pretty nasty. It was kind of foggy and nasty and rainy and got home late last night. Foggy again this morning. What do you take away from last night? I mean, during Whatley's speech, a lot of people were fired up, got huge applause, standing ovation at the end. Obviously, an energized group of people who are, you know, mostly, I would say, conservatives. Although it was interesting to me how many people said to me, you know, I'm not far right, I'm more middle, or I'm independent. So I was hearing those comments as if people have to kind of say where they are. And what do you make of all of that and just the reaction to last night's event?
Well, last night's event was so awe-inspiring. I didn't go to bed till 3 a.m. I was in such a high. And I wanted to tell you something so fascinating this morning. I was at a class, and the instructor was saying to me, who's a Republican woman, said, you know, I live in an old Democratic area, and my neighbors are Democrat, but guess what? They just registered Republican. They have Trump signs on their lawn. I, Dawn, was so taken back, we jumped up and hugged each other. There's a real sea change happening, and, you know, even though people don't feel comfortable at this time to say, you know, I'm voting for Donald Trump, I'm voting for Dave McCormick, I am registering Republican, it's happening. And I just see it as I'm on boots on the ground every day talking to everyone in from Kensington to Bryn Mawr to Welsh Valley to out in the suburbs, that people are saying, I am fed up. I do not like what's happening. I voted Democrat all these years. I don't want to keep voting the same way. You know what they always say when you vote that way, you know, expect a different result. There's something insanity there as well. So people are waking up, and I saw Newt Gingrich at about 3 a.m. as I was watching TV saying that he was looking at the numbers and saying that he was going through each state on and just saying that the numbers are moving tremendously towards Trump now. I just want to tell you that, like I mentioned before, we're going to win this, and Dave McCormick's going to win, and I'm very excited about working in Pennsylvania and then going across the country as well.
And so for you, I remember when you were starting what you called a little grassroots movement, you wanted to just create a platform and bring people together, and it's really turned into you know, Republicans with Hope, an organization by which I think you're really just trying to reach out to find a common ground. So I don't see you as somebody who says to people, oh, you have to be this quote unquote far left or reform. I mean, what are you all about and what's your goal?
I think the reason why I'm really, you know, connecting with people from all walks of life is that my goal is to build a diverse community. That is really where I want to go. I want to reach out, and it's happening now, to the African-American voters that are fed up with being Democrats. I want to reach out to the Hispanic voters, the Jewish voters. So I'm Jewish, and a lot of those voters vote, you know, Democrat. They've, you know, it's not the JFK party anymore. So the youth, mm-hmm. I have people come to my event, a lot of youth. And so it's really about building a diverse community with the gay community, too, that I've connected many people to the Log Cabin Republicans, the gay wing with the Log Cabins, with my flag wave with them every single Saturday. And also my events that, you know, are about meet and greet the African-American candidates. The Democratic Party has always said, like, we're the party, you know, of the inner city. We're the party of, like, the minorities. Well, they're waking up now because they realize, wait a second, I voted this way all this time, and it's not working for me. I'm going to look a different way. That's why Donald Trump and Newt Gingrich talked about this last night. That's why he's booming, really, with the African-American males. And I see it when I flag wave, and also the women, too. So this is just the beginning of about educating people what the Republican Party stands for, because we talked about that. It stands for such beautiful things. And a lot of people, you know, are just being, you know, fed the Democratic from the Democratic media and fed something that's not true. So I'm out here trying to educate and also energize the base that a lot of them don't vote.
So I know you have events tomorrow and then again on Sunday. How can people join in on some of the, especially the flag waving sessions that you do?
Sure. Well, the flag waving, come and email me at republicanswithhope@gmail.com. Tomorrow at East Norriton from 10 to 12, we'll have all your African-American candidates there for a meet and greet. And Tom DiBella, your county commissioner that was just on, he'll be there. And Trump Force 47 will be there. We're going to do a video and send it up to Trump headquarters. And I also want to just touch on this. Last night, Dawn, when I got home, I almost cried. I was so touched that Lara Trump is sending a video. She already sent it to me for the Women's for Trump event that hopefully everyone can join us with our beautiful Stacey Garrity. And Lara Trump sent a beautiful video in for us. And that's going to be at a private home in Marine Station on October 13th from 1 to 3:30. Please contact me at republicanswithhope@gmail.com and republicanswithhope.com. Let's join together to really win this election and really save our country.
Beautifully said. Hope Danoff, you're the best.
Hey, before you let her go,
yes?
Just some comments from youtube.com/@1210WPHD, @1210WPHD. Please go like and subscribe. Sylvia Hope says, I love this woman. So inspiring. Mangle says, she is Sylvia. And Sue says, Hope is so great. So true to her name. She definitely exudes hope. So thank you, Hope.
God bless you all. I look forward to talking to you. Thanks so much.
Until next time, my friend. Yeah, and just her conversations even with Dave McCormick and her connection and friendship with him is nice to hear. I'll ask her about that next time. We're up against a tough break here, and there's a lot developing. In fact, I'll tell you who Donald J. Trump is meeting with just this morning. So we have some Trump news just moments ago. That around the corner and so much more locally, nationally. It's Friday. Happy Friday. Just want to...
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
A recap for you, this powerful speech by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And, you know, this, as he's saying, we are winning and addressing the United Nations amid a pushfire, amid a ceasefire, obviously, in the Middle East. That's not happening. And I want you to think about these individuals protesting, anti-Israel protesters outside his hotel. We're going to get you, essentially threatening him on a personal level, hundreds of these protesters in New York City. And Trump is there, too, just to set the stage. You think about the world stage, New York City, with leaders around the world. Just think about this for a moment. Leaders around the world, protesters outside his hotel threatening him, anti-Israel protesters. You've got the New York mayor, Eric Adams, turning himself in this morning, facing these charges and all these fraud allegations, the swirl of that. You've got Trump meeting with Zelensky as I speak in New York City. Just picture this, all of this. And Netanyahu gets, this guy's got some quijones. Let's just talk about this. But listen to him and you understand when he's speaking why he's rejecting a ceasefire with Hezbollah.
Hezbollah brazenly refused to implement UN Security Council Resolution 1701, which requires it to move its forces away from our borders. Instead, Hezbollah moved right up to our border. They secretly dug terror tunnels to infiltrate our communities and indiscriminately fired thousands of rockets into our towns and villages. They fire these rockets and missiles not from military sites, not from that. They do that too. But they fire those rockets and missiles after they place them in schools, in hospitals, in apartment buildings, and in the private homes of the citizens of Lebanon. They endanger their own people. They put a missile in every kitchen, a rocket in every garage. I said to the people of Lebanon this week, get out of the death trap that Hezbollah has put you in. Don't let Nasrallah drag Lebanon into the abyss. We're not at war with you. We're at war with Hezbollah, which has hijacked your country and threatens to destroy ours. As long as Hezbollah chooses the path of war, Israel has no choice and Israel has every right to remove this threat and return our citizens to their homes safely. And that's exactly what we're doing.
So big applause there after some members of the UN walked out, some not even there. But Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Bibi, he's clearly seeking to rally international support, and he's educating the public as well. And you can hear that. He's essentially saying that in Lebanon, the people there are being used as human shields by a terrorist organization. That's what he's saying. And trying to rally this support for Israel at the United Nations General Assembly in New York City. And what a fighter he is, saying that Israel will continue its wars until Hamas and Hezbollah are destroyed. That is his vow, as he's saying that in Israel they are fighting for their lives. So I know, Dan, you have more as he tries. Even as he's trying to rally international support, this is his moment as well. He knows he's in New York City, which is the hub, the media hub, if you will, for American media. All the networks are there. And that's why he's trying in every way to relate this to Americans so that every American can be educated on what's really happening here. Here's another example of how he's trying to relate this to you as the American citizen.
Hezbollah is the quintessential terror organization in the world today. It has tentacles that span in all continents. It has murdered more Americans and more Frenchmen than any group except bin Laden. It's murdered the citizens of many countries represented in this room. And it has attacked Israel viciously over the last 20 years, in the last year, completely unprovoked. A day after Hamas massacre on October 7th, Hezbollah began attacks against Israel, which forced more than 60,000 Israelis on our northern border to leave their homes, becoming refugees in their own land. Hezbollah turned vibrant towns in the north of Israel into ghost towns. So I want you to think about this in equivalent American terms. Just imagine if terrorists turned El Paso and San Diego into ghost towns. Then ask yourself, how long would the American government tolerate that? A day? A week? A month? I doubt they tolerated even for a single day.
And so that from Benjamin Netanyahu as he makes his case before the American people in New York City. Benjamin Netanyahu, Israeli Prime Minister, saying his nation is at war and vowing to return the hostages, four of them Americans, to return them as they were taken by Hamas. And think about October 7th, TikTok. You know, here we are on this Friday, late September, on September 27th, not so far away from the one-year commemoration of that horrific terrorist attack on Israeli innocent civilians. So we'll see as far as how is the American media, how are they receiving this? How are they reporting it? And, you know, and that's a piece of this because the American media, as well as the Biden-Harris administration, has continued to focus on the impact on the Palestinians. He's trying to give it from his people's perspective, right? And why they have, as he said, no choice. I want to pivot here as far as when we think about what's happening now. Let's just think about this with former President Donald J. Trump, who's been deeply skeptical of U.S. involvement in Ukraine. So I'll take you to another part of the world. As you know, we think of possibly ground forces of the IDF possibly going into Lebanon to try to purge the Hezbollah terrorists out of that area, that hot spot of the world, and what they're on the brink of. Now let's zoom in on another hot mess, if you will, in the world. And that is speaking about Ukraine and that battle with Russia.
I do have some audio of Zelensky and Trump just after their meeting, if you want to hear that.
Let's go.
So much for this meeting. Five years plus. Yeah. So we had, yes, we had meeting again here in New York in September. And now there are a lot of challenges in Ukraine, United States. And of course, I want to discuss with you. I think where we are together, I think we have common view that the war in Ukraine has to be stopped and Putin can't win and Ukrainians have to prevail. And I want to discuss with you the details of our plan of victory.
You know what he looks like? Because there's Trump obviously dressed in his his iconic, you know, the blue suit and the white shirt and the bright red silk tie. And Zelensky is dressed like, I don't know, one of my teenagers as we were going to the mall, you know, with the charcoal gray, you know, sweatshirt and the cargo pants. He looks like the kid going to the principal's office because he stepped in it. Let's just be real here. Zelensky, I know he's the Ukrainian president. No disrespect here, but he stepped in it this week.
I have a freeze frame on the screen. It looks like he's even like...
Look at him. He's like kind of looking down, and Trump is like the principal, like, I know, son. All right, we're going to fix it. You know?
Since it was kind of tough to hear, I just want to transcribe it real quick, audio-wise. Thank you so much for this meeting. We had a meeting again here in New York in September, and now there are a lot of challenges in Ukraine and the United States that, of course, I want to discuss with you. I think when we are together, I think we have a common view that the war in Ukraine has to be stopped, and Putin can't win, and Ukrainians must prevail. And I want to discuss with you the details of all of that. Thank you so much.
So, speaking to the reporters, and Trump suggesting that he would try to broker an end to the war with Russia, and, you know, that he has a good relationship with everybody, including Putin. But this is the Ukrainian president. And quickly, just to bring it back to Pennsylvania, real quick here, I want you to understand something, that Zelensky knows that he stepped into it. He stumbled into this partisan fray this week ahead of these important, you know, this is important. And he obviously, by his body language, if you saw, you could see that on YouTube. And so you have the Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican, obviously House Speaker, calling for Zelensky to fire his ambassador to the United States. And that's Oksana Markovova, trying to basically throw her under the bus. She's the one who organized the visit with the Democrats here to Pennsylvania at that state weapons factory. You know, we're the one where our Democrat Gov Shapiro basically signing bombs. I mean, the whole thing, not a good look and a real mistake. You have Representative James Comer, Republican from Kentucky, chair of the House Oversight and Accountability Committee. He has now opened a formal probe into the Pennsylvania tour. And so this is now, there's a two-pronged investigation from Republicans in Congress, just calling foul here as the Ukrainian president made that. He was flown in a taxpayer-funded campaign flight. Hot mess, not a good look. And Zelensky clearly meeting with Trump. And you can see he's kind of cowering because it was a mess up. Hopefully they'll have good words and sort of, you know, spiff that up and fix it up. And you can see that on Zelensky's face. That's my take. We have a great interview talking about, speaking of somebody else who is maybe messing up in New Jersey, a misstep by somebody in New Jersey. And will an outsider, a political outsider, a Republican businessman who says, hey, don't paint me in that Republican box, will take you to New Jersey. And I know that I've interviewed him before, but you're going to hear again from a candidate who's giving a Democrat, high-profile Democrat, a run for his money. So that interview, it's an important race, and you got to hear what this guy has to say. We'll take a quick break. Thanks for being here. Dawn Show, be right back.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.